Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, let's stand together. Y'all know this. I told you, y'all know this passage well. I told you last week we're just trying to deal with some of these texts. We call them the Christmas texts of the Bible. And you can call it whatever you want. I really don't care. Some people love Christmas. Some people hate Christmas. And I was talking with Brother Wells one time, and was telling him about, you know, different people. I pastored two churches now, and in both churches, you have some people, they don't celebrate Christmas at all, and then some, they just go all out. They put lights on the house and Santa Claus in the front yard, and I mean, they just go all out over all that. We was talking about some of that, and talk about the ones that they don't celebrate nothing about it. And Brother Wells said, I would never say this, but Brother Wells said it. I'll blame him, all right? He said, that crowd, he said, they're just cheapskates. That's all they are, they're cheapskates. Amen, they're tightwads. They don't want to buy gifts for people. That's what Brother Wells said. I didn't say it, I just repeated it, amen. But everybody's got different ways that they view this time of year, but we're trying in these days, starting last weekend and today, and if the Lord will help us tonight and all next weekend, just to center our attention in on Jesus and thoughts that we can learn from the birth of Christ, His coming in the world, and in doing so, we're trying to be very practical. Last week, I preached to you Sunday morning on the mystery of the birth of Christ. And we preached on the phrase that this without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. We preached on the glorious history of the greatest mystery, that God would come down to man. And what a mystery that still is. All these years that we've heard about it is still a mystery. And we'll probably never, I don't even know in eternity, that we'll ever understand why God would have done such a thing. But I'm glad He did. Last Sunday night, we preached to you about the mother of Christ's birth. And we preached on Mary out of Luke chapter number 1. And we took for a thought on how to have a Merry Christmas. What do we learn from the announcement of the birth of Christ to Mary? She said of herself that it was said of the angel to her that she was blessed. And she said it of herself later on in Luke chapter number 1 that she was blessed. And she was happy. She was merry. There was joy involved in that announcement. And we preached a salvation message about how to have a Merry Christmas. And if you're going to have a Merry Christmas this year, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, you need to thank God. And then you need to go take Christ to somebody else. That's how we can have a Merry Christmas. This morning, I want to deal with the miracle of the birth of Christ. And I'll give you the thought that I want to preach to you in just a moment. And if the Lord will help us, will not be too long this morning. Very, very practical. It's just some things I just want to remind you about today. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I love how it is set apart from any other Hebrew boy that bore that name Jesus, which was a fairly common name, but when you put it in all capitalization, this is Jesus like no other. This is a Savior like no other. And thank God that's exactly what Jesus is today. You can be seated this morning. As we look to this text today, I'm particularly interested in what we're calling the miracle of the birth of Christ. But I want to see this miracle today as it is brought to us and made mention to us to the one who is going to bear the earthly responsibility of being the father figure to the earthly life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is Joseph. We're told here the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother was espoused to Joseph. We dealt with the mother of Christ's birth last week, but today I'm interested in this announcement as it's made to Joseph. And immediately it is said to him, there's this long announcement that is laid out in a conversation that takes place between the angel Gabriel and Mary, and the announcement of the arrival of Jesus, the conception, and then the birth of Christ to her. It's a long drawn out, or at least a longer drawn, more drawn out conversation. The angel gets right to the point with Joseph and just simply says, Joseph, that is conceived in Mary thy wife, it is of the Holy Ghost. This is something that goes beyond what science could ever attempt to understand or explain. This goes beyond test tubes and laboratories and different health organizations trying to lay out in by way of a formula or by way of a procedure how this thing could ever be. And that this woman, Mary, is going to bear the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in the flesh. And the announcement is made that this is a miracle, Joseph, that God the Holy Ghost has brought this to pass. And I want to say this morning that the conception and the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is no doubt a miracle beyond explaining. In fact, that's exactly what a miracle is. It is something that is done in the earthly realm that goes beyond the earthly and the natural, and you're left saying this is something supernatural. This is something that without God being the explanation could have never taken place. Something man cannot do, something man cannot explain, but something, thank God, that mankind can enjoy. And that's what the birth of Jesus Christ no doubt is today. It is a miracle, and his conception, he was having been conceived in Mary and her virgin womb of the Holy Ghost, without a controversy, without explanation today, we just simply declare, what a miracle. What a miracle today. I'm interested this morning particularly in this miracle and how it bears an effect in the life of Joseph. I think we all would agree that a virgin would conceive a child. It is a miracle, but what about this figure, Joseph, and what this miracle means to him this morning? I believe as we have this in mind that this is a miracle, you and I have a vantage point of this that and we look to the Word of God and we see it in its totality. But Joseph is living this in the moment. He's living it in the reality of his own life and the events and the circumstances and this announcement. He's engaged and espoused would be the Bible term and way to explain what is going on in that culture between him and Mary. But really already that is his wife. And to have this announcement made and news brought to him that his wife has conceived a child without natural means, but a miracle, you can imagine what that is done in the mindset of this man, Joseph. He's trying to figure it all out. And he doesn't know what you and I know from the beginning to the end. He is walking it one step at a time. He is living it, Brother Jack, one conversation at a time. And he's looking around at, and I think maybe from a human perspective, which is exactly how Joseph would have viewed it, that somebody would say, Joseph, what is going on? How is your life going in this hour? And just putting myself in his shoes for a moment, I think maybe the only way you can describe what Joseph's life as far as how he's trying to figure it out is, man, what a mess. What a mess my life is in right now. This announcement, it doesn't make any sense. This news, has stirred things, no doubt, in Joseph's heart. But my friend, our natural and a part of the natural man. And buddy, I'm telling you, all the plans that he had and all the things that had been laid out and all the dreams that were just right there at the tip of his fingers. In a conversation or two, Joseph's life has been flipped upside down, inside out. And Joseph, listen, he ain't viewing this in this point of time, or at least in part of this. He's not viewing it as a miracle. It's not a miracle to his heart. It's not a miracle to his mind. This thing is a mess that has been brought into his life. Amen. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me, on the miracle you need when your life is in a mess. The miracle you need when your life is in a mess. Joseph had a mess going on in his life. And when we think about Joseph, as we did last week, with Mary, there are many ways that this is very practical, and in many ways this is very spiritual. But the fact that Joseph, he had a mess going on in his life, it would represent a sinner. It may even represent you as a child of God here this morning. I think about the mess that Joseph's life is in, and I thought about this early this morning. And Joseph had a mess with the lineage of his life. And we read, and we didn't read it this morning, we could. But in the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter number 1, deal with the lineage of the family and the house of this man Joseph. Beginning at Abraham, going through David, all the way down to the day in which Joseph lives. And in some ways, you look at the lineage, it is listed. Men with a spiritual heritage is Abraham, the father of faith. And men that are pointed out very clearly and elevated in this list, Brother Mark, like David, a man after God's own heart. And in some ways, the lineage of David, from everyone else's point of view, from the outside, maybe would have admired the family that Joseph had to his lineage. But can I remind you, even in Abraham's life and David's life, and surely in the lives of many of these others that are mentioned in here, there are many failures and blunders and mistakes, and there is idolatry and adultery and immorality that abounds in just mentioning the names that are connected to the lineage of Joseph. You see, my friend, everyone else may have admired his lineage, and to some degree, sure. But may I remind you, there were many family failures that had taken place behind closed doors. And Joseph knows all the family secrets. And Joseph, my friend, knows all the blunders that have been made.
And all of that is attached to his lineage. And this morning, there's a world around us that there are so many things that have gone on in their families. And you maybe even been in a church family yet. And all the things that can take place in one's lineage and one's family, really, my friend, going all the way back to Adam. The fact of the matter is we all come from a lineage that represents a mess in our life. Amen. Said, well, my daddy was a good man and my mama was a good woman and outstanding citizens in the community. But my friend, if you go back far enough, amen, somewhere there's some convicts at, and somewhere there's some people sitting in prison at, and somewhere there's some people with blood on their hands and dope in their veins at, and somewhere in your lineage, somewhere is a representation of sin that really has all mankind in a mess today. Amen. And Joseph has a mess in his life, a mess in the lineage of his life. Notice with me, Joseph had a mess with the lady of his life. He is, my friend, asked for the hand of Mary in marriage. He wants her to be his wife. But before they, my friend, have their ceremony, and before it becomes an official joining of man and woman before God in the vows of marriage, matrimony, and holy wedding bliss, the news arrives to Joseph. I don't know. Certainly Mary was the one that sat down. And you imagine that, how that conversation would have went. And you imagine from her end trying to have that conversation. But can you imagine receiving that from Joseph's side? Amen. Mary comes to him and said, Joseph, we need to talk. Joseph said, we can talk about anything. She said, well, Joseph, it's going to be a hard conversation. Joseph says maybe something like, I don't care how hard it is. Amen, let's talk. I'll listen to anything that you have to say. And her, my friend, uttering the words, Joseph, I'm pregnant. Joseph, I am with child. And then those famous words of every adulterer and every immoral person, but it ain't what it looks like. Joseph going, what do you mean it ain't what it looks like? I know you and I have not been together, and the only way that you can be with child is at consummation of the wedding vows that we have not even been to yet. And all of that mess, it would have been jumbled up in his mind. The minute, my friend, she said, I'm pregnant and I'm with child, immediately there would have been a spirit of jealousy rise up in that man. That my friend would have wanted to go strangle somebody. I would have wanted to meet somebody out in a field. Who is he, Mary? You tell me who his name is. Maybe he's thinking somebody took advantage of her. And then he begins to think the worst of the worst. And Mary has been unfaithful. And Mary has pursued some immoral relationship. And all of that jealousy in a moment of faith. Amen. I promise you would have represented nothing short of a mess in his life. Amen. Amen. You say, oh no, Joseph was a godly man, a just man. And the Bible declares that about him, and no doubt he was. My friend, God, under the Old Testament, had formed within his law the law of jealousy. God had made provision for a man that when his wife had committed sin against God and against him and against the vows and the commitment had been made to one another, that, my friend, there is all sorts of things that were to be taking place under the law of jealousy. Had it been stirred within a man, that even if a man thought that his wife had been unfaithful, the law of jealousy laid out a path by which that man could lay out his jealousy, lay out his concerns, and then God, that would be brought into judgment before Almighty God under the law of jealousy. You talk about a mess. You talk about, and I don't preach this today to bring up things to hurt folk, and in the past, whether, amen, you was the unfaithful party or you had unfaithfulness committed against you, but the fact is these things are so common in our day. There's so many that could just easily slip yourself into Joseph's shoes and put yourself into this situation on one side or the other. And you know, listen, as a pastor, I deal with people all the time that my friend have had unfaithfulness and sometimes multiple unfaithful times and seasons. And Brother Jack, trying to work all that out, I'm going to tell you this morning that at the end of the day, they spent a lot of days. I just had to look at them and say, this is a mess. Are y'all with me? I'm going somewhere. But I'm talking about Joseph's life is in a mess with the lady of his life. Joseph, it ain't what it looks like. Well, it looks like. I tell you what it looks like. And her trying to plead and beg with him to understand and to believe that this is not the way it was. And yet Joseph's alone and he's pondering and he's thinking on these things and he's heard, no doubt. He's just thinking, man, all my dreams have gone down the tube. My family has been compromised. All these things that I've desired in life and I thought I was going to have with this woman that I love for the rest of our lives, all of a sudden, all of them looks like it has been crushed out of his life. What a mess. Mess of the lineage of his life, a mess with the lady of his life. Let me tell you something this morning. Joseph had a mess with the laws of his life. Mentioned the law of jealousy and all that the law had brought out that and if a man had been stirred by jealousy over some accusation or something he perceived, whether it's so or not, that God laid out a way for that all to be laid out and dealt with it. And whether she was innocent or guilty, in the end of the day, God would bring all of that to light. But here's what the law said. The law said if she has, or even a man for that matter, and if one had been unfaithful, that when that was known, they were to be taken out and stoned. We think about the testimony in the life of the Lord Jesus said, as the Pharisees brought a woman to him, cast her down. And what did they say? They said this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. And Moses said she ought to be stoned. What do you say? Where'd they get that? They didn't bring that up out of nowhere. They got it out of the law. The law said that Joseph could have had Mary stoned. What a mess. His religion, can I put it that way? His religion, all the things it had laid out in the law of jealousy, all that it had laid out in what was his right and what was his God-given ways, how he dealt with this. Listen to me. All of his laws, all that his religion represented, Joseph knew that it could not fix the mess and the toll that was going on in his mind. His religion has him in a mess. I don't know if I'm making sense this morning. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people today and their life is in a mess because of the religion they have embraced. And I don't care if you're a Catholic or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Mormon or a JW or a Buddha worshiper. The fact of the matter is today, and there'll be a time in every man and every woman's life where you will be brought to a season or you're going to find out that whatever religion you have, amen, will leave your life with no fix. It'll just leave you in a mess. That's why this morning we don't offer you church membership till you've been saved. We don't offer you baptism till you've been saved. Because church membership is a religious aspect, and baptism joins you to a religious aspect of your life. My friend, all of that offers no fix for the mess of sin that is in mankind's life today. And Joseph now, the Bible said in verse number 19, that Joseph, being her husband and being a just man, he's a moral man, he's a religious man, he's a man that looks to the law and has embraced some of those things that have been passed down from Moses through the elders. But the Bible said, while he thought on these things, he's thinking about his lineage, he's thinking about his lady, he's thinking about his laws. My friend, that phrase, while he thought on these things, if you do a word study on that, Brother Tim, it means there was some agitation in the heart of Joseph. That what he was pondering perplexed him. It was stirring up anger and wrath. There were things going on in him that was just a mess. Everything's a mess. How am I going to show my face in town? How am I going to live my life? How am I going to enjoy these things that I had set out to enjoy? And now he's looking to religion. And he even tries to go a gracious route of religion and thinks that I won't have her stoned. I won't make a public example out of her. Her and I will leave this between us. We'll bust ways, and then she can deal with all the repercussions. But I'm telling you, under the religion of the law, amen, there was nothing about it, amen, that would have fixed the mess going on in his life. Today, I wish you'd listen to me this morning. Our religion doesn't fix anything. Coming to church doesn't fix anything. Having a Bible on your coffee table doesn't fix anything. My friend, religion has left mankind and womankind in a bigger mess than anything this world has ever offered. Today, religion will leave you empty, and laws and regulations, my friend, can't fix what's going on in the mess of your life. Right there in the midst of the mess of his lineage, in the midst of the lady of his life, and the announcement that his bride is expecting and it's not his child. In the middle of trying to figure out all his religion, Joseph was in a mess. But I'm thankful the Bible said, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I'm preaching this morning on the miracle you need when your life is in a mess. And God brought, my friend, the reality of a miracle. Amen. In fact, may I just go ahead and say it. And before all is said and done, you know what the miracle really is? In fact, the miracle is not a what, the miracle is a who. And that, my friend, when his lineage was a mess, his relationship with his lady was a mess, his relationship with the law was a mess, there was a Savior that was announced, and a miracle was brought into Joseph's life. It was the answer for his life that was in a mess. Now, I'm saying today, without reservation, without controversy, without shamefacedness, I declare it boldly today that Jesus is the answer for every mess that is represented in your life. And Jesus is the answer if you need saving and your life is in the mess of sin and you're headed in a mess on a road to hell, and religion can't fix you and marriage can't fix you, having children can't fix you, joining the church can't fix you. The miracle that Joseph found in the midst of his mess was that Jesus Christ was the miracle. Today, there is a miracle you need when your life is in a mess. I would say this morning the miracle for Joseph's mess involved, number one, the blood that is cleansing. You say there ain't nothing about blood? Absolutely. The Bible said in the announcement of this miracle that is being brought to Joseph, In the middle of his mess, the angel declared, "Dad, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And only because he has been conceived in the Holy Ghost can he be," capital, amen, "Jesus, and do what Jesus came to do, and that is to save his people from their sins." You know what sin is today? Sin is a mess. Sin is the mess this world is in. That's what mankind needs saving from. And we can get in all the theological ways we can define sin and all the biblical terms that are used, sin and transgression and iniquity. There is evil and evil doings. And from there we can start calling out very blatantly what sin is, name by name by name, according to the scripture. Can I just tell you what sin is today? Sin is the mess that this world is living in. Mankind needs cleansing from their sin. They need saving from their sin. And I'm telling you that at the announcement of the miracle of the birth of Christ, it is known that it is not Joseph who is the father of what has been conceived in Mary. This is not the product of an abuser or a rapist that has somehow taken advantage of this virgin girl. This is not the wily ways of a woman in Mary who had a knight of ill repute and had given her to some sort of illicit affair behind the back of her parents and behind the back of her spouse husband. The angel said, "Listen, what has been conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And because that is so, he is going to save people from the mess that sin has got them in. How does he do that? He's going to do it by his own blood." Amen. The blood of Christ. One of these days I need to really just preach on this. Maybe we'll do it next year. Y'all put it on the calendar. All right? But there were two times the blood of Jesus Christ was shed in his life. You say twice? We all know about Calvary, but his blood was shed 8 days after he was born, circumcised according to the law. Amen. What was presented when he was 8 days old? And then, my friend, what was presented in the death that he would die on a bloody cross, having been beaten and having been crucified and nailed to an old rugged cross? My friend, was, listen, it was divine blood that he received from his Father. Your blood today, your blood is taken on by your Father. And there's been discrepancies about all of that, but make no mistake about it, amen. And somebody said, "Well, where does sin nature lie? Is it in the will of man, the mind of man, the blood of man?" And we could get in all of that and try to explain all that. But the fact of the matter is, you are corrupt today. Life is in the blood, and the fact that your blood is pumping through your body today, amen, is a testament, amen, of the physical life you have. But somewhere in you today flows through your body a corrupt nature of sin that needs cleansing. Jesus did not have the blood of Adam. Jesus did not have the blood of Joseph. Jesus bore in his body the divine sovereign blood of Almighty God. Praise the Lord. Pilate testified that it was innocent blood. Peter said it's precious blood. Hallelujah. Amen. The Hebrew writer said it was offered blood. Blood of the sacrifice of the New Testament. My friend today, understand that it is the blood of Christ that brings redemption, and it is the blood of Christ that offers you cleansing. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I've been washed today. Jesus said, John testified rather of Jesus in Revelation 1, how unto him that loved us and gave himself for us and washed us in his own blood from our sin. Paul said that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it, and that he's sanctifying and cleansing of the church by his own blood. And so this morning we offer not baptismal waters, and we don't offer, my friend, communion wafers, and we don't offer statues of Mary to bow down to, and we offer, my friend, no priests, no men dressed in their mama's nightgown behind some knot hole in a padded, padded booth somewhere. Oh no, we offer you today a message that there's a miracle, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can do for the mess that sin has brought into your life. Amen. What your lineage could never fix, what your family relationships and marriage can never fix, what religion can never fix. Amen. The miracle today in Joseph's mess had turned his mess into a miracle, as the announcement was the revelation, was the good news. Amen. That Jesus had come, and by his blood he would cleanse the sin of mankind. Amen. Blood today is offered to you, the blood of Jesus. Amen. If you're ever going to have a miracle today, saved or lost, I promise you it's the blood that cleansed you that is the miracle for every mess you got. You ever got a mess and you just got to get it to God? You know, do you realize today it is the blood that is cleansing that even allows you to enter in the presence of the Lord to be able to tell him what your burden is? Hebrews chapter number 10 said, let us therefore enter boldly. Amen. Why? Because, amen, we have the blood of the New Testament. And my friend offers you an aid. We don't have to come before God timidly. We don't have to bring our own merit. That would never earn. That would never fix anything. When we come and we say, dear Father, I'm pleading the blood of your precious Son that you sent in the world, conceived in the Holy Ghost, that blood that cleansed me from my sin, I now come by way of the blood of that covenant. Here is my need. Here is the mess of my life. And you know what God does? He doesn't hear you because you're a goody two-shoes. He don't hear you because you're a member of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. He doesn't hear you because you got baptized. He hears you on the merits of the blood of his own Son that he sent into this world. Amen. Amen. The blood that is cleansing. Amen. Number two, quickly, the book that is convincing. The Bible said, verse 22 and 23, now all this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now, when it says by the prophet, understand he's talking about Isaiah. Isaiah is part of the Word of God. Isaiah is the Bible. What did the Bible say 600 years before Jesus ever showed up? Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, a part of this miracle message that was being preached to Joseph involved, listen, it didn't involve, and I understand he's in a state of a dream, and that's how God communicated in those days. But Brother Tim, ain't it amazing? Even in that dispensation of Joseph's life, God still brought him back to what the Bible said. God still pointed him back to what God had already revealed in the Scriptures. Amen. And we got this crowd today. Amen. These charismatics. I won't be too hard on them personally today. I won't call them charismaniacs. Amen. I won't call them my friend out of hell. What I will say is they are in error today. They are in great error today to elevate dreams and visions and revelations above that that God's word says. I'm not saved today because I heard something some man say. I'm saved in the mess that sin had made out of my life. Amen. The Bible was preached to me one day. Paul said in Romans chapter number 10, so then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's the message of the word of God. Why? Or it is the power of God unto salvation. Hey, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, but thank God also to the Greek. And in a world, in a day where lives are in a mess, and I remind you today, the word of God is still the message, and there's a miracle that God has sent his Son, that God has offered the way of light and the way of truth and the way of eternal life unto all that have come to Christ, come to him by Christ Jesus. Amen. The Bible has to convince you. Amen. In a moment of time, Joseph is in a mess. In that moment of time, he's in a mess. In that moment of time, he's wondering, where in the world? I've got no ground to stand on. Everything's sinking. Everything's falling apart. Anybody remember where you was when it dawned on you your life was in a mess? Amen. Right in the middle of all of that, mama. Amen. The angel said, but the word of God said. And all of a sudden that angel's preaching, amen, the Bible to Joseph. He's offering him solid ground. He's offering him a foundation in the midst of all that he perceives to be a mess. It was the Bible that is convincing Joseph that this miracle of Jesus will be enough for his life. I tell you today, you know why people are still lost? If you're here today and you're lost and you've been here more than five services, well, I'll say five services. Amen. We could say this morning before I get done, just the one service you're in today. You know why you're going to leave out of here getting your car as lost as you were when you walked in the doors? Because you won't let that book convince you that God, Candy said it this morning, that our God is not a liar. Amen. What he said in that book about all being sinners, that includes you. Amen. What he said about there's none good, no, not one. I don't care what your mama said about you and all the little pats on the head that your great granny gave you and told you how wonderful you were. God said we're all sinners. And God said there's none good. God's word said that there's none righteous. And God's word said everything good and righteous we can attain to in the eyes of men, in the eyes of God, are all as filthy rags. And until you, my friend, let the word of God convince you of all of that, your life's going to stay in a mess. Amen. Amen. Till you let the word of God convince you that Jesus Christ said in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, that includes you and me, but by me. That's what the book said. Now you can try and work your deals out with God. You can try, my friend, to swap marbles with the Lord and trade cards and trade up and somehow try to figure out how to get a better deal with God. Amen, but the only deal God's offering mankind today, amen, is you must allow the word of God to rule and reign in your mess. And you must believe you're a sinner. You was born a sinner. And you've committed sin. And in that sin, you're worthy of and deserve every bit of the gates of hell right now where you sit. That God sent his Son in the world. And that he came to where we were when we could not go to where he was. And my friend, he didn't come just to pass out fish and hush puppies and feed the hungry. He didn't come just to do a few few little measly physical miracles. He came that he might go to bloody Calvary, and my friend laid down his life and shed his blood and be buried and raised the third day, and he did, so you could be saved. Amen. And until you, my friend, allow the Bible to convince you all that, so you'll walk through them doors, get in your car, and live your life this week lost, on the verge any moment of busting hell wide open. I don't care how good your life looks on the outside. On the inside, you're a mess. Spiritually, you're in a mess, and maybe you don't even know it. The Word of God, my friend, it was the Bible that convinced Joseph in this miracle. What a miracle that what we could not bring to God, God brought to us, the blood that's cleansing. What a miracle today when we couldn't figure it out, when we couldn't find our way to God, and God, my friend, spoke it, gave His Word it. And now today we have the Bible, the unadulterated, inspired, preserved, perfect Word of Almighty God, and be preached to sinners today, and that seed find its way in your heart and begin to convince you of things you said you'd never believe. Glory to God, that's a miracle. The blood that is cleansing, I'm done. The book that is convincing. But notice with me in verse 24 and 25, here's part of what his miracle in his mess involved, the belief that is changing. Candy's coming to the piano and I'm done. The belief that is changing. The Bible said, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He's already said he wasn't going to do that. What changed the course of what he was going to do? What was it, Bryson, that changed the path that he had already set? Hallelujah. I'm about to run. I'm glad the house ain't that far away. I can make it to the bed. But Jack, what changed this boy's life? Amen. Watch it now. Faith in what God had said. He had already mapped out the plan. He had already drawn up the papers. He had already set his life on a course. He had already, my friend, told Mary goodbye. We're not going through with this. I'll do it in a way you can bear the reproach. I won't have you stoned. But goodbye, good to know you. Amen. Do the best you can. My friend, when all is said and done, there's a change in the old boy's heart. Amen. What changed? I tell you, my friend, he put faith in what God had revealed to him. And I tell you today, the miracle today of life-changing faith, it's one of the greatest miracles. Is still the greatest miracle God is doing in these days. How do you explain what I'm doing today? See, nobody here, Miss Kate, I guess the only one that knew me. You can start playing there, Candy. Miss Kate be the only one knew me, Isaac, before I was saved. I had dreams and plans. I had things mapped out. I had things I wanted to do. Not all of it was ungodly, but some of it had some ungodly tones to it. How do you explain where I am today? There's a day God revealed Jesus, the miracle power of the gospel. When I put that life-changing faith into what Jesus had said and God had said in His Word and the blood that Jesus had shed for me, it altered the course of my life. You remember what that Ethiopian said to Philip out there in the desert? Philip was preaching Isaiah 53 about Jesus coming and shedding His blood. Don't ask me how the old eunuch Amen. I still wonder about this some days, how he arrived at this out of Isaiah 53, but right there in the middle of all the desert, the eunuch said, well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? I don't know how he got that out of Isaiah 53. I've looked it up and down. It's got to be in there somewhere. Something in that old boy's heart said, I want to get baptized. Philip didn't say, oh, I'm glad you said that. Let's get down here in the water. Here's what Philip said. He said, good question. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I love that about Philip. He wasn't offering him some little religious profession. Amen. So Philip could go back with another notch on his belt and say, hey, let me tell you this story about this eunuch I led to God. No, he offered him eternal life. No notches, no articles in the sword of the Lord, just eternal life. Mr. Eunuch, you got to believe with all thine heart. That is life-changing faith. The reason I won't deny they don't have emotional experiences. Lucas, there's a lot of emotional experiences people can have. And they walk straight for about 6 weeks. On week 7, they're back the same old way of living. Same old way of thinking. Why? Because they did not put life-changing faith in the gospel message. See, there is a way to believe with all your heart that changes your life. Do you know anything about that miracle? I think I could take the Word of God. In fact, I'm confident I could. Show you that faith itself is a gift of God. God today, through the preaching of this meager, hard to listen to man of God, through his word, has offered you life-changing faith. He's offered it to you. You got a choice whether or not you're going to believe with all your heart. Until you know that miracle of life-changing faith, you're headed to hell. I don't like to have to be the one to tell you. Take joy in preaching this, but that's the truth of the matter. The joy of my heart is to be able to stand here and tell you there's a miracle right now. In your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your spiritual state between God that is so dysfunctional and such a mess. If you'll just believe God, there'll be a miracle of salvation poured out on your life. How many of y'all, do you know that old song, There's a Miracle in Me? Remember that old song? Anybody remember that song? Sister Pat said kinda. If I'm not mistaken, that first verse says, oh, to be there when the Savior spoke the great command and to witness in the wonder of his wonder-making hand. Songwriter said, no miracle has caught my eye or caused my heart to see. But by faith, I now can realize there's a miracle in me. I wasn't there when he raised the dead and opened the blinded eyes. I wasn't there in the earthly days of the Son of God when, my friend, he would touch lepers and they would be made whole, and when he would just speak a command and give somebody something to do, and that their faith in what he said, miracles would be seen and had. so many. So John the Beloved said, Betty, that if he wrote it all down, the things the Lord did, he supposed that even the world could not contain the volumes of miracles that Jesus really did. And I didn't see one of them. But that don't mean I've not experienced the greatest miracle of all. And as a 17-year-old boy with my life in a mess and headed to a bigger mess, I met the Son of God, put my faith in Him with all my heart. I believed. It wasn't, Brother Mike, none of these half-hearted prayers and professions I had made so many times that left me empty, left me wondering, left me agitated. At 17, I believed with all my heart. Now there's a miracle in me today. Amen. And if you're saved, there's a miracle in you. And if you're not saved, there could be one if you'd respond today. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for the truths and the way, the practical ways that, Lord, you've laid out to us from the passages of the birth of Christ to our life and the gospel. Lord, today there may be somebody, they may not even realize it, but that their life spiritually before God and before eternity, they're in a mess. Lord, they've never had a time in their life they bowed themselves down before God and called on Jesus to be their Savior and Lord. Lord, to put their faith in the blood of cleansing that is the only agent to take away sin. Lord, I ask you this morning, Lord, you would make that clear and plain to them. As clear as you made the message to Joseph about the blood and the word of God, that Lord inspired him and moved him in his heart to make that choice to believe what God had said. Do that for somebody else here this morning. Maybe somebody that has tuned in and has been watching the live stream. Lord, there's several folk been watching lately that's lost. Lord, I pray this morning you'd get a hold of their heart. Lord, if they just bow down where they've watched this service sat right now on their knee and call on you. Lord, you said you'd save them. So Lord, do it here and do it wherever, Lord, the gospel has been preached today. Just change lives, we pray. May there be miracles. Salvation abound all over the place. We give you the glory, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every head's bowed, eye closed for just a moment. Candy's going to play.